Rachel, and today we have Steven. This is our new segment, Story of the Week, and last week you had Kelsey and Steven. This week you get Rachel and Steven, but this is just a segment we wanted to try out doing where we bring, each of us bring, some story that we like for the week in the world of combat sports. Steven, what do you have for me today?
Yeah, so there, you know, obviously there's a lot of good stories coming out of this week because of the UFC 259 that happened on Saturday night. But my favorite story that I covered was on Saturday night during the UFC post-fight press conference. Dana White was up there talking. He was talking about Jan Blachowicz's big win against Israel Adesanya. He shared a dialogue he had with Blachowicz after he was crowned the winner, and Dana White came over to wrap the belt around his waist. I actually have the quote here. I'm going to read the quote. Okay. So this is Dana White talking at the UFC press conference, okay? And so I'm Dana White right now with a little more hair. So when I got up in the octagon, I put the belt on Blachowicz tonight, and he turned around, looked at me and said, "You don't believe in me." I said, "What the F? What did I do? I've done nothing but say good things about the guy. But yeah, he thinks I don't believe in him." I thought that was really interesting because, I mean, that's almost like kind of how the whole MMA community in large part has looked at Blachowicz, especially going into this fight and last fight, right? When he fought Dominic Reyes, when he went in to fight for the vacant light heavyweight title against Dominic Reyes, most people were just like, yeah, this is Reyes's win. He's the uncrowned king. A lot of people scored Reyes to have won against John Jones in February of 2020. So him going into the fight was almost like, he's the uncrowned king. We just have to get through this fight, and Dominic Reyes will be holding the golden strap. Blachowicz said, nope. Knocked him out with his Polish power. And then going into this fight, Israel Adesanya, he's on the verge of becoming this massive superstar that transcends the UFC, right? Blachowicz, once again, big spoiler to the party. And it's just, it's kind of incredible. So yeah, like a lot of people in this community, most people probably were not believing in Blachowicz. You know, he started his UFC career going 2-4. And so he dropped, they're all decision losses, all four, but, and he lost to pretty good fighters, like really great fighters like Alexander Gustafsson, Corey Anderson, Jimmy Manoa. But still, typically, if you're looking at a UFC champion, you're expecting to not see four losses at the start of their UFC career, right? And especially at 38 years old now. So I think it's just such a cool, just like a cool story all around that Blachowicz was able to just spin this whole thing around. Look at who he's beat now. He's beat Luke Rockhold, Israel Adesanya, Dominic Reyes, Jacare. It's pretty incredible. It was a cool story to cover. I think Dana White, or Blachowicz saying that to Dana White, it was almost like he was saying it to the whole MMA community.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, you didn't believe in me. And you know what? I wasn't the biggest believer, honestly. And now it's like, okay, this guy's amazing.
Kelsey kept saying, like, I can't keep picking against Jan anymore. Like, every time a fight would come along, it would seem like it was going to be the other guy that was, like, on track to win. But that's fascinating. That interests me so much. And I actually said going into that that match that I felt like that Jan, even though he was a champ, it was like he had to do more to win the fight. And usually the champ gets the benefit of the doubt. Like, if it's going to be a decision on the scorecards, like, you've got to really take the title away. But I thought Israel was kind of on this train, and he was just, like, you know, destined to be champ, and he had this, like, larger than life personality. Not too long ago, he was on the trailer pay-per-view for Tyson Jones Jr., you know, as the color commentator, like, all this stuff. And it was almost like Israel was coming in as the favorite and everything. And I thought, oh, it's like Jan's gonna really have to do something. Yeah, Jan does have a different way that he's coming into all these matches that he has. And I think maybe he's had to work a little bit harder. And starting out 2-4, usually when people start out like that, they're not where Jan is at now. And I think that we can also be reasonable. So, like, I don't have to, like, beat myself up as a fan. That's just reasonable. Like, you just you hit the stats and you look at them. Like, that's what it is. But I like that Jan kind of bearing his heart there. That, like, he's in that moment. Dana White's putting the belt around his waist, and he just puts his heart right out there, like, you don't believe in me. And I think the connection you made, like him saying it to Dana White, but really saying it to the entire UFC community, is really something. And I think, like, it's okay, you know, for Jan to have his feelings about that. And at the same time, it's okay that maybe not everybody thought he was going to be like a consistent champ as he has. Yeah.
That's a very good point. I mean, objectively, it was absolutely fair to think that he was an underdog against Luke Rockhold, or an underdog against Dominic Reyes or Israel Adesanya. Those are fair things to think. But he did. He's a fighter. And he proved us wrong. That's the fight game. And that's what's so awesome and great about it, right?
Yeah.
You know, so it's pretty incredible. And I loved watching it.
Yeah. It was great. That whole card, like that was a really fun night. All right. Here's a story that I'm bringing to you. It's Conor McGregor. Okay.
Okay. Naturally.
And the wife of Kelsey McCarson. But anyway, it's Conor McGregor. And it's kind of twofold. The first thing is that I caught a little bit of an interview that Dana White did on Mike Tyson's podcast. And they asked him, hey, who's your all-time favorite fighter in UFC? And he says Conor McGregor. And I was like, is that a cop-out? Like, is that like the easy, I'll just say this and people just kind of, they might grumble about it a little bit, but then they move on. But also, what is the president of the UFC doing choosing his all-time like favorite fighter, and it not being like a historical figure? Like, get, you know, maybe you could do that, but you're picking somebody current. Like, you know, Dustin Poirier just beat him, and I feel like, you know, Poirier might be out there be like, what the, you know?
Yeah, I feel like the Conor McGregor choice is the very safe pick for him, because he's obviously, McGregor's the guy that's brought in the most money, the most eyeballs to the UFC. So I mean, as a fighter, it might be hard to argue against that. It's not like he picked a Dustin Poirier and then Justin Gaethje could be like, oh man, like, you know, I fought like this really great fight against Poirier, and you know.
Yeah.
So I think it's a little safer. Also, I mean, that rise of Conor McGregor when he was a featherweight and he came in and he just destroyed Marcus Brimage, and he goes on this insane run. He's talking the talk, he's walking the walk, he's getting these insane finishes every fight. As a fan, like when I watched that, I was, you know, years before becoming an MMA media member. And that was my favorite thing to watch also. And still to this day, I look back at it, I'm like, man, like as a fan, that was pretty incredible to watch. So I get that. I feel like Dana White has said Chuck Liddell a few times too in the past as a favorite fighter. Yeah, but I think, yeah, picking Conor McGregor is definitely like a safer pick, I think, if you're Dana White, if you're going to be giving an answer. But I mean, yeah, it's kind of, should you give an answer to that one? I mean, he's hanging out with Mike Tyson. They're loose, you know, they're chatting. Like, yeah, so.
Yeah. Well, and it's twofold, because it could be his favorite fighter for his pocketbook. Obviously, Conor's brought in lots of money. And so let me ask you this, because it's also about Conor McGregor and what your thoughts are on this. So not too long ago, Kelsey interviewed Demetrius Johnson. Is that his name? Yeah. Demetrius Johnson. And he said the Conor wants to fight like four times in a year. He just wants to fight. And he said the UFC can't do that. They can't afford for Conor to fight that much. And I thought, oh, well, that is really fascinating, because when I come over from the sport of boxing, those events are solely set up where like you're getting paid based on like the event and everything that's being brought in. But the UFC definitely, like, a lot of these guys are getting baseline paychecks, you know? And so I pulled it up, and for Dustin Poirier, it said Conor McGregor's purse was $5 million. Dustin's was $1 million. They each got some kind of cut of pay-per-view revenues.
Yeah.
But that base rate of pay, if it's $5 million, there is a difference between having Conor fight once a year and paying him $5 million, having Conor fight four times a year and paying him $20 million. And so I wonder, what are your thoughts on that? Do you think that Conor needs to take a pay cut in order to fight more?
I don't know, because, and that's just disclosed pay too, right? There's back end bonuses that we have no idea about. And Poirier likely might have got a few things too. We don't really know.
We learned that from Cormier, right? Where he was like, oh yeah, after that fight, Dana was like, here's some money, yeah. Because...
Exactly. Yeah. So there's things like that. Yeah. The main issue with having Conor fight four times a year is that means you have to put him on four UFC pay-per-view events four times a year. As we know, there's only like 12 or 13 a year. You have all these champions that need to fight. So if you have him on four pay-per-views, then you're going to have championship fighters on that pay-per-view with him. And then all of those championship fighters, the champions, they get pay-per-view points. So it actually costs the company more. That's why you never see Conor McGregor on a pay-per-view with a champion under them, because the UFC's having to shell out more money to these paper, to these champs, because there's obviously the buy rate's going to be a lot higher. I mean, I wouldn't, so I'm not like in favor of a pay cut or anything. I definitely think that he's worth every penny to the UFC. It's a, you know, we just, us covering MMA, like we see the kind of traffic that Conor generates, the kind of buzz he generates. Like the sport's a lot, there's a lot more eyeballs on it when Conor's fighting. So I don't think he needs to take a pay cut. I don't know. That's, it's a really good, it's a good question. Would he, I wouldn't even be surprised if he took a pay cut because he wants to fight so bad, especially if he beats Poirier. I mean, he's going to be ready for the next thing. He said he wanted to fight three times this year.
They're already pushing. I keep hearing the Poirier rematch might be this summer.
Yeah.
So they're already pushing it quite a bit. Like,
yeah. And then, so then you imagine if Conor beats Poirier, he'll fight probably in November, December. And I mean, I would bet everything that it would be for the UFC lightweight title. Mm-hmm. If he, it's a tricky navigate, a thing to navigate. Maybe they just create another UFC pay-per-view just for Conor, because you have so many champions, you need to get them on those pay-per-views, right?
Yeah.
So from a business sense, I mean, obviously as a promotion, it's better if they don't have to pay as much money. And if Conor took a pay cut, that'd be great, but for them, but
yeah. Anyway, I thought it was really interesting and I was grateful Demetrius Johnson brought it up, because I had never even considered some of the more, you know, I guess back end aspects of putting on a fight and how those relate to how many times these guys can fight per year. I just hadn't even thought about it. So I thought it was real interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. Demetrius Johnson, he's got a good perspective too, because he headlined, you know, a good few pay-per-views. My first ever UFC fight card I went to was in Vancouver, UFC 146, I think. And it was headlined by him fighting Ali Bogdanov, but those buy rates were always pretty low, so he could fight three times a year, headline a pay-per-view, and he wouldn't get as much pay-per-view points as if he was on a card with Conor McGregor. He would get way more out of the pay-per-view. So it's an interesting perspective from the flyweight goat.
All right, well, there's our stories of the week, and it was real nice chatting with you, Steven.
You too, Rachel. Thanks for having me.
It was nice talking to you, and yeah, I guess we will see you next week. And yeah, I don't know how to end these. I do this every time. I know. Until it's over. All right, thanks for tuning in.